Thank you. In Luke, the 6th chapter, beginning in verse 46, Jesus Christ said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." The words of Jesus Christ from the Gospel of the Good News of Luke, the 6th chapter. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, may the words that I say be what you would have me say. May some see that light has dawned for humankind. Through Jesus Christ's precious name we pray. Amen. Welcome once again to the Jesus Christ Said Radio Ministries. It's so good to be with all of you, especially those of you who cannot, for whatever reason, get out to go to church. Consider this your weekly radio church, your weekly worship service. Welcome to all. In the name of Jesus Christ, welcome. Our website, which has the email address and the contact information along with last week's sermon, both in text and audio on it, is www.jesuschristsaid.com. Now, I'll repeat that at the end of today's program. Today's Bible reading comes from Matthew, the 4th chapter, beginning in verse 12. The Bible says, "Now when he," this is Jesus, "heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. From that time Jesus began to preach, saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And he went throughout all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all of Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons and epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis and from Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan." That's our Bible reading for today from the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew, the 4th chapter. May God's mercy be upon us all and his life shine in our hearts and in our souls. As a young student at Arlington Heights High School over in on the west side of Fort Worth, I was a Fort Worth Star Telegram paper boy. Now, at that time, all of us boys who threw the Star Telegram were high schoolers, and we walked our routes and threw both the morning and the evening editions. Now, today, there's only one edition in the mornings, and most of the delivery people are grown-ups throwing our paper from a car or maybe a pickup truck. But I remember as I'd finish my morning route over in the Monticello section of Fort Worth that the dawn would just be breaking. And I'd hear the B-36s warming up in the early morning hours over at Carswell Air Force Base. Yes, it was that long ago. And hear the trains humping in the hump yard down by Vickery and University Drive. And some of those sunrises would be pink and purple and red and orange and majesty itself, as though God was talking directly to me, using the whole sky as his dramatic backdrop. I didn't believe in God then. I really didn't give it much thought as a teenager. But I knew a thing or two about beauty. I'd had a Fort Worth Press paper route before my Star Telegram route, and at that time the younger kids through the press and the older ones through the Star Telegram, and the press was an afternoon delivery. But on Christmas mornings, the press would come out with a big edition, so my daddy would get up and help me deliver the press. And I remember he'd stop and point to the eastern sky where the star of the east, now I know it as Venus, the planet, would be shining there just where the Bible said it would be. Just where the shepherds in the field saw it and the three wise men followed it 2,000 years ago. And still up there this second week in January of 2008 if you want to get up early and see it. The star of the east that signaled the birth of Christ, and then Isaiah foretold the ministry of God on earth saying that a light has dawned. Now, most of you have seen the light that has dawned in the star in the east at one time or another in your life, but has that had any significance to you? Has it pointed to your soul and to your heart and put the love of Jesus Christ into you to be your light that has dawned, your star in the east that guides you every day? When we become Christians, when we begin to follow what Jesus Christ says, how does our life change? I know you don't have to be a follower of Jesus Christ to consider yourself moral, and that you don't have to be a Christian to think of yourself as religious. I have this friend who is an atheist. Now, he's as moral as any Christian I've ever met, but he just doesn't believe there is a God. When I look up at that sunrise, that light that has dawned, either when I get up early nowadays or I remember how it looked as I threw the Fort Worth Star Telegram early in the morning of my youth, I see God. I see God in the mountains far off, or the vastness of the ocean that I saw when I was in the Marine Corps aboard a Navy ship. I can hear God talking to me when the trees rustle in the breeze, or the laughter of some child at the shopping center, or the mall, or the grocery store, or just passing by a school playground. But my friend is an atheist, and he doesn't hear or see or feel or touch God in any of those human activities. I get a kick out of reading the letters to the editor in the Dallas Morning News or the Fort Worth Star Telegram. Every two or three weeks, there will be an outbreak of letters about the proof of God. Someone wants a Christian to prove God exists. Some scientific, reproducible experiment where God almost can be revealed as the power behind the movement of the universe. As if, as the kids nowadays would say, God can be no more proven than anyone can prove they have a soul. And yet, don't you, any one of you listening to me today, feel that deep down inside you there is more than skin and bone and muscle and brain? That when whatever in you dies, that your body will die, but you won't. You, whatever the soul is, whatever is there when you look inside your soul will be forever, will live forever. Now, my friend the atheist scoffs at this. David, I thought you were brighter than this, he tells me. Believing in God has nothing to do with IQ, with intelligence, I tell him. It's not a question of being smart or being dumb. It's a question of seeing that light in the dawn that began the ministry of Jesus Christ. I laugh at him, thinking that you have to be smart to be a follower of Jesus Christ. So many of my fellow Christians, my brothers and sisters in Christ, believe you spread the love of Jesus Christ by making other people be just like you. Making them. You can't make people love Jesus Christ. You can't make people see God any more than you can make people love you. You can't command people, be like me, come to my church, believe what I believe, wear what I wear, what I say, what I sing, walk like I walk. It doesn't work that way. God gives a light that has dawned, and we look at the beauty and see the face of God. My friend the atheist sees beauty, but the face of God eludes him. Why? Why? He asks for proof that God exists. And I ask him for proof that when we die, we blink out of existence. He says we have no soul, and when our bodies die, we die, all of us forever. And I ask him for proof that that happens. He has no proof. I have no proof, but I have belief that God exists. That's something he doesn't have. So with that belief, I turn to the Bible to see how to live my life. My friend the atheist turns to Ernest Hemingway, who said, "All thinking men are atheists." Or perhaps he turns to Arthur C. Clarke, who wrote 2001 A Space Odyssey, and who said, "Religion is a byproduct of fear. For much of human history, it may have been a necessary evil, but why was it more evil than necessary? Isn't killing people in the name of God a pretty good definition of insanity?" Now, I do agree with what Arthur C. Clarke said when he said killing people in the name of God is a pretty good definition of insanity. As for my conservative friends, especially those patriotic friends who say that America's founding fathers were all Christians, well, here's what Benjamin Franklin said. Benjamin Franklin said, "I have found Christian dogma unintelligible. Early in life, I absenteed myself from Christian assemblies." Benjamin Franklin, who I certainly consider one of America's founding fathers, also said, listen to what he said, "Lighthouses are more helpful than churches." Even Mark Twain, the humorist, gets into the act when he said, "If Christ were here now, there is one thing he would not be. He would not be a Christian." I don't have an answer for every atheist friend, just as I don't have an answer for everyone who believes a different political philosophy from me. Are they stupid? Am I stupid? Well, neither one of those is true. We are all different, and we all believe different things. Last week I was talking about all the different churches of the world, all the different denominations that follow Jesus Christ, and how we all have one thing in common. We all follow Jesus Christ. How we follow Christ is different. That we follow Jesus Christ is not. But I was amazed to learn after that sermon last week that there are more than 38,000 different denominations worldwide that follow Christ. Now, I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about denominations. Denominations, huge denominations like the Baptist and the Methodist and the Catholics and so on. 38,000 different denominations. I don't know how many different Bibles there are, but in that class of 16 participants on Wednesday evenings that Pat and I attend, there are at least 12 different Bibles. I have two that I take to class, the King James Version and the NIV Study Bible. And Pat studies the Word of God from her New Jerusalem Bible. But no matter what version of the Holy Bible you use, or no matter which of the 38,000 denominations you belong to, or if you're like me, as I preach non-denominationally on the radio every Sunday, our Bibles tell us, all of us, that Jesus Christ said to love one another, to love your neighbor as yourself, and to love your enemies. Now, if all of us who see that light as dawned, that believe there is a God and that Jesus Christ came to earth as God on earth, practice just these three things: to love one another, to love your neighbor as yourself, and to love your enemies, we would shut up the critics of Christianity like Mark Twain when he said, "If Christ were here now, there's one thing he would not be. He would not be a Christian." Why would a bright man like Mark Twain say something like that? Is he being cruel? Is he being lighthearted or headhearted or hard-headed or hard-hearted? No, there may be some truth to that. Would Jesus Christ approve of America's invasion of Iraq, for example? Now, even if you believe that the fearmongers about Saddam Hussein and his weapons of mass destruction being a threat to America in the beginning, they were proven wrong. There may be such a thing as a just war, but certainly Iraq wasn't one of them. And invading Iraq goes against what Jesus Christ said, to love one another, to love your neighbor as yourself, and to love your enemies. In Luke, the 6th chapter, beginning in verse 46, Jesus Christ said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you?" Why do we do that? Why is it that over 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ knew exactly what to ask us here in 21st century, modern day America? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Is it because we believe, in addition to believing there is a God and believing in His Son, Jesus Christ, that we also believe it is better to be a Presbyterian than a Baptist? It is better to be a Baptist than a Methodist? It is better to be a Methodist than a Catholic? And so on down the line for 38,000 different denominations? Is that it? You know, we would look pretty silly if and when we die and go to heaven and we stand before Jesus Christ at judgment time, and we tell Him that the reason we didn't do what He said when He told us to love one another and to love your neighbor as yourself and to love your enemies, the reason we didn't do those things is because we wanted to look like everyone else in our denomination. We wanted to be like Reverend Jones or Pastor Smith and vote for who he or she told us to vote for and to support whatever politics that made us look more patriotic. I don't believe Jesus Christ is going to look favorably upon that. Jesus Christ said to love one another, to love your neighbor as yourself, and to love your enemies. Now, this is a radical thing to command in the first century A.D., and it's still a radical thing to command in the 21st century A.D., perhaps even more so today than during Roman times. I don't believe Jesus Christ was just talking to those in that time or that era. What Jesus Christ said then is just as true and just as fresh and just as needed now, because Jesus Christ is just as alive now as He was then. If all of us Christians, followers of Christ, came together and did what Jesus Christ said to do, to love one another, to love your neighbor as yourself, and to love your enemies, then all of our atheist friends all over the world and all of our religious friends of all religions would never again ask us to prove that God exists. That proof would be in humanity. That proof would be self-evident in the peace in the world. And then when my atheist friend would look at the morning sky, he would, like all of us followers of Jesus Christ, my atheist friend would see that a light has dawned. Let us pray. O God, Father in heaven, from whom comes the light of all the universe, be the guiding beacon for our nation. Give us the courage to be generous as a nation and as individuals. Give us the eyes to see those in need and to help them through any means we can, as a nation, as a church, as an individual. O God, maker of all heaven and earth, be our light that has dawned, and let the love of Jesus Christ, from which all humanity flows, into our hearts. Give us the clarity of heart and the clarity of soul to be good apostles, following your Son, to be good citizens of this great nation that you and your generosity have given to us for safekeeping. We worship your goodness and your mercy and your generosity, and we fear your wrath. Give us the courage to follow the commandments of your loving Son, Jesus Christ, as He said for us to love one another and love your neighbor as yourself and love your enemies. Give us this strength to follow His truth. That love of God is stronger when giving of ourselves, both as citizens of a nation and stewards of a church. Give us the strength of character to be that light that has dawned, that light of Jesus Christ, that generosity of God on earth. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're still a part of the evil and the sinful world, you can change that. You can have God help you either become included or become an includer. You can do that right now. No matter what is in your past, and it cannot be as bad as my past, you can become a follower of Jesus Christ right now, here, in the twinkling of an eye, on the radio. If you're already a born-again Christian, and have gone back to sinful ways, to barring from the church house door those who may need Christ and God the most, the seeking power of this world and all of its false wealth, if your light for Jesus Christ has gone out, ask for forgiveness now. Please pray with me right now, and it doesn't have to be exactly like this, but just pray with me here on the radio right now. Oh, Heavenly Father, please give me the courage to live the life Jesus Christ has for me by learning to love those around me. Save me from being lost and being dead in my soul. In Jesus' precious name I pray, amen. Your life just changed. And then Wednesday evening, this coming Wednesday evening and every Wednesday evening, you find a church close by, no matter what denomination. And if you're physically able, you go there. Many churches have dinner and Bible study on Wednesdays. And Bible study is the very best way to get to know God. By studying God's Word, you'll get more questions than answers, that's for sure. That's the best way to get to know God. And then next Sunday, go to church, any church, but go. Go to Sunday school and go to church. Don't let anyone talk you out of it. Go to church, any church. Forget about denomination and look for the love shining in the eyes and the smiles of those churchgoers. Now, those smiles and those wonderful smiles and eyes, this is a reflection of the basics of the love of Jesus Christ that is in their hearts and in their souls. You find a church. You find the church, the instrument of God, the true instrument of God, not an instrument of some political party. And find that one true church for you where you can meet other seekers of the love of God. No matter what the name is on the outside of a church, it's what's on the inside that counts. I'd like to salute all you men and women on the way to Iraq or Afghanistan or just coming home. Perhaps someday soon, in this year of 2008, as we Christians all over the world unite in the cause of the Prince of Peace, we can have all those fighting and wars go home safely. Hello to all of our shut-ins today at the Manor Care over on Skyline Drive in Fort Worth, where Pat and I gave the worship services this morning. It's always wonderful to see our friends over there. Please write or email me, and let's work together for the love of Jesus Christ to become a reality in your life and those around you. Now, you can help Pat and me in this ministry by sending a tax-free donation of any amount to us. Your generosity, God's generosity living in you, will be known by God and will help us spread the good news of what Jesus Christ said. Send your tax-deductible donation of any amount to the Jesus Christ Said Radio Ministries, Post Office Box 162712, Fort Worth, Texas, 76161. That's P.O. Box 162712, Fort Worth, 76161. And that's on our website, which you can always keep posted on the Jesus Christ Said Radio Ministries by going to our website, www.JesusChristSaid.com. It's like the name of our ministry, all run together, no spaces. JesusChristSaid.com. If you have a favorite religious song you'd like me to close the program with, please let me know. Now, today's requested song is a truly international song. It was written by a 25-year-old young Swedish preacher after he had walked from church meeting through a thunderstorm in 1886. And this is the Reverend Carl Boberg, who wrote the lyrics, which was later put to an old Swedish tune. Now, more than 40 years later, a missionary couple in the Carpathian Mountains of Russia heard the hymn sung in Russian. And while hearing the sound of a thunderstorm passing through the mountains, Stuart Hine and his wife translated the Swedish-Russian words into English, adding the line about the rolling thunder. But it was not until 1957, Billy Graham Crusade in New York City, where the song first sung in America, that it became a beloved praise song that it has become today. And today's vocalist Well, no words can introduce birthday boy Elvis as he sings today's request. Birthday boy, I say he was born on January the 8th in 1935. He would have been 73 years old last Wednesday. Can you believe this or not? This is a request for my friends, Catherine and her daughter, Kathy, in Fort Worth. And here's Elvis Presley and How Great Thou Art.
I'd like to do one of my favorite gospel songs. This features the Stamps also, How Great Thou Art. Oh Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the world thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Sing it, fellas.
When Christ shall come, where shall the proclamation to take me home? What joy shall fill my heart?
Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, oh my God, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. Sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee.
Elvis, how great thou art. And if you have a tear in your eye, don't be ashamed, so do I. A light has dawned. With the beginning of the three-year ministry of Jesus Christ, that light began to shine on the world and down through time to us here today. Jesus Christ said for us to love one another and to love your neighbor as yourself and to love your enemies. This is the light that shines. It shines in our hearts and in our souls. This is the real proof of God, the real proof of God, the love of Jesus Christ. Please come back next time we're here on the radio. If you'd like me to come to your church and preach what Jesus Christ said, please contact me at my website, www.jesuschristsaid.com. Please pray with me one more time. Heavenly Father, keep us all safe until we meet again. Keep watch over us and keep our hearts full of Jesus Christ's love. In his name I pray. Amen. Till next time, this is David Perkins saying so long. I'll see you in church, and be sure to love one another. That's what Jesus Christ said.